Alemo rakanta alemo zapa alama shantama alemo zapa nende kane nene kane nene kane nene kane nene. Come on, Landos to go villa shaga till they zigged the day. Rasito Kaliste Gavila Manta Bacapalamas and Tala Cazepola Shanda de Catoli Rosa Palamanamos, Sotaka Palimar and Balamanamos to Macapina Macatina de Emali Rosso to Malamanamos to Macapina Maros taking Polimante Genzinda de Cosati Capilamos, Opoli Rosa Tolimas and Tamanamos of Palam. Emale manemoson to male kayenta maza palas te gentite li rose te ketilas to kotale rosa tala maza kista gentile zotati rosa na 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 na. Oh, glory to God. Edification is ours again this evening in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Okay, can the Bible be wrong? Part 3. So, last time, please be fast. Can the Bible be wrong? Part 3. Hey, sit down. Can the Bible be wrong? Part 3. So thanks for following me in this series. And please do your best to be here tomorrow, okay? Do your best to be here tomorrow, just 6 to 8 tomorrow. Do your best to be here. I'm ready for tomorrow already. And we take it slowly out. Just one sermon today. So your assignments to us tomorrow, please. I'm sure you do it well. More comprehensive. I mean, if you enjoy as you are doing the perusing. Good. Okay. Number one, you know we have historical books, right? So, Sabuki, give me one historical book. In categorizing the Bible, historical books, we have what? Sit down. We have? Huh? Yeah, be confident now. Why is it historical? Good. He told us the story of how they left Egypt, right? And they are journeying to Canaan. See, you are a man of God. You must be able to put things line upon line. Not say it like Stagerad and say, well, I just know that who's that? God didn't kill him, sha. Because Paul told us that God did not kill anybody. No, you can go further, okay? Further details. Good. So we have historical books like Genesis, Exodus, 1 Samuel, etc. Also, we have prophetic books. Like Daniel, like Revelations, even Psalms. Psalm is prophetic. We have Jeremiah, a lot of them. Don't forget, even books like Jeremiah, you can still find more of history there. That's why I love the way, and when she was doing the classification of the Bible, that a book can be louder on some, on like history than prophecy. E.g. now, the book of David, David is a major character inside 2 Samuel, right? But in the book of Psalm, we have more of the prophecies of David than in 2 Samuel. So, in 2 Samuel, it's more of historical, but Psalm is so much prophetic. Poetic, prophetic. Now, also, we have poetic books, of course, like Songs of Solomon, Psalms, Proverbs, etc. Then, we have revelational books like the Epistles. Now, like I said, although we have clearer lights, clear light in some portions of the Old Testament, like Isaiah, but the epistles are the light of all light. Are you with me? What are the epistles? They are the light of all light. So they are the clearest. The epistles are the clearest. Now, based on dispensation, we have the book of Genesis. We have the book of Genesis. Also, we have the Old Testament books. Old Testament books, which is basically, I love when you put it like Exodus 19 or Exodus 20 to the book of Malachi minus Job. So, book of Genesis is called the book of beginnings. Simple, but because we are talking about dispensation, simply a time before the law. Just put in a clear sentence. Genesis and Job's are almost the only book in the Bible which are times before the law. I will tell you the reason behind that again soon. Also, so we have the Old Testament books, which is Exodus 20 to the book of Malachi. Then we have the four Gospels, which of course, the fulfillment of the law, and also, I also call them the bridge. The four Gospels serves like a bridge. Then we have what I call the New Testament books. The New Testament books are Acts till Jude. I call them New Testament books. Of course, Acts is still historical, while the epistles are purely revelational. But based on dispensation, both Acts and the epistles, they belong to the New Testament. And lastly, we have the book of Revelation. Now, the book of Revelation, this is where we differ a bit from what it was earlier said. The book of Revelation, the church age was not the entirety of the book of Revelation. E.g., from Revelation chapter 4, talks about a period after the church age. Revelation 4 verse 1. Be fast. Of course, Daniel 2 and Jesus spoke a bit about those times. Revelation 4 verse 1. So, in the book of Revelation, we saw in all those reproof of the churches. Funny enough, although based on dispensation, they are part of the epistle. Based on this dispensation, from Revelation 1 to Revelation 3, I will still merge them with the New Testament because they are reproof to churches, existing churches, Laodicea, Ephesus, and the rest. See, 4 verse 1, want to go? Yes. After this, I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a prophet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must what? Be hereafter. Which must be hereafter. So mostly from that Revelation chapter 4, he starts speaking about things which should be after the church age. Now, actually, because we are talking in a vision, a lot of stuff, we have a lot of mixtures. We have the fall of man was actually there. We have the fall of man, we have the church age, but we have mostly of last day's events, which is what we call what? Eschatology, right? Huh? Are you with me? So, from Revelation 4, majorly to Revelation 20, 22, right? It is majorly of eschatology. And less of others. So from Revelation chapter 4 is his own space. Why are you frowning at me like I'm doing? You don't have to frown. You can ask questions after when I say time for questions. Hallelujah. Okay, question. You have a question? Good. Dispensation we are not talking about when it was written. Dispensation has to deal with. See this. E.g., when were the four gospels written? But the event in it is the event of what? Event of that time. So that's why I didn't want to use the word when it was written. It can confuse some people. It's basically what is the main cocoa of the matter. You know, I said also under Revelation, I said we have books like Daniel, right, that spoke about the last day's event. We have some parts of Ezekiel that spoke about the New Jerusalem, about the church age. But we know those books, they are more of prophetic. Jesus has not even come. So which eschatology are you trying to talk about? So that thing is only valid afterwards when church age is fulfilled. Are you with me? So what is your question? Yeah. Yes. Of course. Where is this in church age? We're in the interlude of Daniel. Don't worry, I'm not trying to teach that right now. We're seeing the church age. We're in the 69th year of Daniel, actually. So between 69 to 70 is not predetermined. No. Church age actually has no length. That was the only time that Daniel could not date. Please forget that. That's not what you are studying there. Amen, amen. So now remember the last time we said that we had the works of man, we also have the works of the law. The works of man, What are the works of man? Things that man will try to do to what? To please God. And we saw example of that in a man like who? Like Cain, right? So before the law was given, we had the works of man. But after the law was given, every man that tries to obey the law to please God, that's where we had the works of the law, works of the law. So now, please write this down. The works of the law clouds the understanding of God the more. The works of the law clouds the understanding of God the more. The works of the law clouds the understanding of God the more. Because each now, from Genesis to Exodus 19, faith is clear, can be seen clearer. Before the law came, faith can be seen clearer. Between that Genesis to, you can just call it just one and a half book or just one book, just Genesis. But that period actually is over 2,400 years minimum. Are you with me? Or even more than that, 2,400 years. 2,400 years on earth when there was no law to condemn a man. So in all those periods, there was no thou shall not. Are you with me? Please don't get distracted. There was no, Ratolu, are you with us or against us or for us or out of us? Amen. I believe you are everything. So now, in those periods, there was no thou shall not. But yet, there was still say not in your heart. Do you understand me? I have one sermon today, so I can go a bit slow until it's quarter to go. So, in those periods, there was no thou shall not. But there is still what? Say not in your heart. What is say not in your heart? What is say not in your heart? Huh? Believing the gospel. That means there was redemption to be accepted. In Genesis, there was no thou shall not lie. Thou shall not do this and that. But there was still redemption to be accepted. People live just based on their conscience. E.g., in the days of Noah, there was no thou shall not commit homosexual. But men descended that low in sensual pleasure because they rejected the knowledge of redemption. It was redemption that must not be rejected. Are you with me? In the days of Noah, God, there was no do not. So to say that God punished, killed them, punished somebody for homosexual is a lie. Because there was nothing called thou shalt not commit homosexual. But people descend that low into homosexual because they rejected the knowledge of redemption. Do you remember Romans chapter 1 verse 27? As they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up. I want to skip that God. You understand me? God gave them up. Hallelujah. Which series that teaches now? That the giving up is not active. It is them not retaining God in their knowledge that is they are giving themselves up. So it's not like that, okay, they rejected God, then God rejected them. You rejecting the message of God is you taking yourself out of God's canopy. Are you with me, brethren? So, men descended that low in sensual pleasure because they rejected the knowledge of redemption. It was redemption that must not be rejected. Not do's and don't. So, when a man believes in God's report, his conduct becomes transformed by the message he has believed. He will become occupied with the good news and won't have so much time to descend so low in carnality. Are you with me? They will what? Become occupied with the good news and will not have much time to descend so low in what? Are you with me, brethren? They will not have that much time to descend so low in carnality. So, believing the good news is the key. The conscience will be blessed. One major reason... Are you with me? Are you with me? Come on. Joshua, look here. So, the conscience will be blessed. Let me take it again. When a man believes the what? The good news. When you become occupied with the good news, you will not have much time to descend low into carnality. So, most of the time, we try to attack the actions without dealing with the what? With the cause, with the root cause. Man tries to deal with the action of sin
You are doing this, you are doing that, but they refuse to remove the root cause of sin from the root. So in the days of Noah, what was the root cause? What was the root cause? They rejected the gospel, right? They rejected the message. They rejected the safety of God. What were the actions? Homosexual and the rest. Are you with me? Now, so let's now start our study today. One major reason why many feel that the Bible is controversial, why many feel that the Bible is not consistent in truth, is because of the plenty death in the Bible. One major reason why a lot of people think that the Bible is inconsistent in truth is because of the plenty deaths. Deaths. One major reason why people think that the Bible is not consistent in truth. Our topic is, can the Bible be wrong? So, it's because you saw that God killed this, God killed that, God killed this, God killed that. So, that is why people thought what? The Bible is not consistent in truth. 2 Samuel chapter 6 verse 5. For instance, let's look at this case, the one we just finished examining. 2 Samuel chapter 6 verse 5. Are you following? And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord in all on all manner of instruments made of fair woods, even on harps and of pastries, on timbrels, on cornets, on cymbals. And when they came to Nacob's threshing floor, Uzzah, what? Put forth his hand to the ark of the Lord and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him, and there for his error. And there he died by the ark of the Lord. Okay, good. Before we examine that story critically, follow me through this journey. James 1:13. Trying to establish a point for you today. James 1:13. Let no man say, are you there, brethren? Want to go? Yes. Let no man say, hold on. This is church. Read the Bible. So you open your mouth. You say it. Want to go, everybody? Yes. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he. Say it. Read it again. Everybody, want to go? Let no man say, when I am tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he. Checkmate, right? Clear. That God cannot tempt a man with evil. God cannot use evil to correct a man. If a man is in error, God will not use death, leprosy, calamity, barrenness to correct him. But go to verse 14 says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, and when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. 16, want to go? Do not err, my beloved. 17, yes, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no what? Variableness, neither shadow. Say no variableness. Say no shadow of turning. Say God does not have inconsistent character. Say he is the same and he does good things alone. So you must first settle that in your heart. Now, we saw in the place that God kills somebody. And New Testament told us that God, only good things comes from God. No, he told you in Matthew chapter 7, right? He said, if wicked people knows how to give what? Good gift to their children. How much more shall your Father in heaven give good things? So when men are receiving, I told you sometime a while ago, that Christians, we act like we are not better than Muslims. Because when something happens and they say to your brother, is Amuwa Olorun, where is Amuwa Olorun in English, please? God ordained, right? Like somebody will die. Say, well, we have done our best. It's just it's God's time. What is God's time? No, he gave you life. He didn't give you death. Accident will happen. And Muslims will say, hey, Allah, Akbar, God is great. Come on. You are giving the glory of who? Devil to God. And what will happen, according to Job? You are energizing the devil to do part two. Second round. You know, you remember what Pastor Nika said? When he said there was a healing line, and there's this woman that said that, is it cancer? He said, there's this cancer in my body. He said, I believe God put this cancer in my body to humble me. He said, okay. Do you know humility is good, right? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this cancer. Thank you for the humility. I pray that you give her more cancer so that she can be more humble. Now say, no. If God will put cancer, how many of you will do that to your own kid? A child is disobeying you, you now say, now call, you know, in Yoruba we have some guy we call Ajigijaga. Ajigijaga, come. That my child, cut off his hand. Give him typhoid. Go and inject blood of HIV into his blood. Will you do that? So why do you think God will do that to you to correct you? Praise God. Say God's means of correction is his word. Okay, John 10:10. Be fast. You open Bible. God cannot help a man that cannot open Bible. Scripture, right? Once you cannot read, you cannot be helped of God. The truth is here. You have to read. John 10:10. Want to go? Yes. The thief cometh not, but what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it out more abundantly. Hallelujah. Say, God gives life. He doesn't kill. Okay. So now, where I quoted the other time is Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. You can check it later. Matthew 7, 11. Now, but there is a concept of judgment we must understand. The judgment of sin. I'll talk about this before I go back to the case of Uzzah, why he died. The judgment of sin. Now, the repercussion of sin must not be confused with the judgment of God. The actual repercussion of sin must not be confused with the judgment of God. The issue is in diverse times, sundry times, and diverse manner. Genesis 2:16. God's judgment for sin is singular. No matter the sin a man commits, God has only one judgment for all manner of sin. One. Say one. God's judgment for sin is what? Singular. It's not that when you do this, there's a particular judgment that will come. When you do another one, that's why I'm saying the repercussion. Now, do you know, e.g., that we have physical repercussion for sins, right? A man went out in the night, you went to steal, they caught you, they shot your leg. That is not God, right? Is that God? That is the policeman. That is the policeman's judgment, not God's judgment. Somebody will say, well, yeah, God catch him. That's not God. There's a way God catches people. That's easier. Genesis 2:16. You must not confuse it. It is police that catch you. It's not that, it's not, if you commit sin right now and you now went to prison and you now serve your, maybe you stole, you went to prison, you now serve your 10 years. After you came, and after coming out, you have satisfied government. You have not satisfied God. Your punishment in the prison is not you satisfying God's criteria for reconciliation. Are you with me, brethren? So that is you satisfying who? Government. Settle government, settle God. Parallel lines. They don't meet. They both need different things. Amen? One needs you to go to prison. The other one, what do you need? Blood. Say blood. Hallelujah. We'll get there very soon. Okay, Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. 1, 2, go, everybody. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, thou mayest free it. 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest therefore, thou shalt surely what? Die. Say, surely die. The die is die. Say the day you eat of this tree, you will surely die. Let me just stick with my notes. Let me not spend much time on that. So, and the effect of man eating of that tree is spiritual death. Is spiritual separation from God. Say spiritual separation. So that was the death. Not physical death. Let me show you. Because see Genesis 5 verse 5. If what God was telling Adam that day was physical death, then why didn't he drop dead immediately after he ate of the tree? Because how long did Adam live? See Genesis 5 verse 5. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. After sin, 930, then he died. Even the most holy man in Africa today, how long is he living? 120, 100. But this is Adam, the chief culprit. The chief culprit. So if God never used physical death to judge the grand finale sinner, why do you think he will use physical death to punish the sub-sinners? We are all sub-sinners. Sorry. We are no more in sin. We are dragons of God. But you know, every other man is a what? Sub-sinner. But the primary sinner, did God kill them? No. But yet, God told him that in the day you eat of that tree, you will what? You will die. So what is that death? Spiritual death, right? Say separation. Now, write this down if you are writing. The authority of spiritual death is not with men. I mean, no man can pray or decree or cause a man that doesn't belong to hell to go there. The authority of spiritual death is not with man. Meaning, there is nothing you cannot. I cannot hate Oju so much now that I say, I decree you are going to hell. I decree you enter lake of fire. Man does not have the authority. Are you with me? Those boundaries has been set by God and God alone. Sorry, Gera, is your head? Are you comprehending? Should I step down or I should step up? Up. Cha, cha, cha. Let's do it. Hallelujah. So, but also, write this down. Also, the authority of physical death does not come from God. Same way that no man, like, you cannot, there are some men of God that they are so anointed, they will say, if I decree over your life, you will die and you go to hell. You can't. You don't have the anointing. Nobody has the anointing to cast a man to hell. Are you with me? But in like manner, God does not have the character or the authority of physical death, of killing people. I will explain right now. Just follow me. Follow me. Don't forget, I have told you, sin has its own repercussion. So the authority of physical death does not come from God. It's with men. How does God deal with the wicked? Who can tell me? How does God negatively deal with the wicked? Think now. And now I'm using the word negatively. Now, deal. I didn't say, I'm talking about, you want to deal with somebody. How does God deal with the wicked? He doesn't. But write this down. The wicked being judged of his choice, write this down this way. The wicked being judged of his choice to reject God's word, we die and go to hell. The wicked man being judged of his choice to reject God's word, he will die and go to hell. Let me say it another way. God does not give hell to the sinner, but rather he offers to the sinner an escape route from the judgment hanging upon humanity. It's not that God says, you, hell, because of your sin, hell. No. What God is offering to man is mercy. so that man can escape from judgment. Please, we are going to a very, especially tomorrow. So there was a standing order that man rejected. And there was a trending judgment. Or there is a trending judgment that will fall on the subsequent men that disobeyed to. Please note that word carefully. There was a standing order that man rejected. That is in Adam. And there is a trending judgment that will fall on the subsequent men that disobeyed to. So God judged sin. What did God judge? Sin. Meaning, a state that is separate from God is damnation. The sinner will kill himself. That's the point. He will go to hell without God's mercy. Because he is rejecting mercy. Hebrews 1 verse 1. Because if you notice, some angels too sinned. But God brought redemption to who? To man, not to angels. Demons are irredeemable. Amen? Okay. If you understand that, then let's proceed, okay? So, this God that does not have the power of physical death, he now has spokesman. Now, you see where the problem will come in. Because you hear that, I've told you I've been in a campground before, and the man of God said, well, the type of anointing I carry, if I tell you to fall to die now, you will die here. See? Hey? A man of God on the pulpit, he said, the type of anointing I carry, if I tell you to die, you will die. And some of them have actually done it before. And there is the worst type of people that you ask them, how many people have you raised from the dead? Not yet. So how many people have you killed? In that village, there are 12 people. In that other village, there are 15 people. Are you serving God or serving demons? Because think about it. Jesus lived how many years? 3.5 years active ministry on earth, right? 33 years, but 3.5 years active ministry. Did he have enemies? He didn't have enemies. He has enemies. Real enemies. Ferocious one. They want to kill him, right? Throw him down the cliff. Who did he kill? Say one. Say no one. No, none and one. They resemble. Say none. Don't use oragnish. Say none. Hallelujah. Praise God. He said, I came not. How did he put it now? The Son of Man have come to seek and to save that which was lost. Praise God. So, death is not God's thing. But God has spokesmen. Unfortunately, they are men. We want to see how death usually comes in. You know? This God that does not kill anybody physically, he now has spokesmen. He has men of God. Say men of God. Amen. Say Joshua's of God. Joshua. Good. Hebrews 1 verse 1. Oh, look at your Bible, Mr. Man. Hebrews 1 verse 1. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you there? Are you ready? Want to go? Yes. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the. Again. Verse 1 again. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the. So. Okay, actually, in proper construction, the prophet spoke for God in diverse manner. It's not God that is speaking different things at different times. But who was speaking for God? The prophets. They spoke for God, but how? Diverse manner. See verse 2. As in this last days, spoken unto us by his what? Son, whom he has appointed, heir of how many things? All things, by whom also he made the world. So, now, in the counsel of God, we have judgment. Which the prophet saw. I take it again. We have judgment for sin. See, in Christ, some people think that, you know, there is this common fallacy that, don't worry, there is one day that God will just look at all the sinners and say, okay, all of you, I pardon you. I will move all of you to heaven. See, as real as your righteousness in Christ, so also is the judgment of sin real. Is real. Hallelujah. Because the judgment for sin is the strong extreme, strong negative, strong opposite of your righteousness. Remember, as far as what? East from the west. So as it separated you from where? Your sin. So there was a separation. So what they call hell? A place to keep what? To keep what? What did God want to keep in hell? Sin. So anybody still identified with sin will go to where?
Hell.
Good. Okay, follow me now. So, am I calm enough? Say yes. Simple. You have to say it. So we have judgment, which the prophet saw and tried to replicate. Now, the worst punishment, okay, Gina, Bratolu, if you want to punish somebody or not now, what is the worst punishment you can take off? You want to punish somebody? Yes. Not you as a new creation anyway. The old you, your old man, which is not fully dead, which only fainted. Hallelujah. Okay, if you look at the Old Testament, you will find, apart from just die, you know, we now have how the death will come. Ground can open and swallow you up. That is a death. Fire can come and burn you. You can become leprous and leprosy will kill you. Huh? Okay, yes. Elisha. But everything, what is the end point of everything? Physical death. Say physical death. Good. So, the worst punishment men can think of is that physical death. Now, men of God, they don't have the authority to cast any man to hell. Don't forget to know your pastor and know your savior. For you, those ones, they are not even pastors. They are just prophets. Only when a man rejects what the savior said through the pastor, that he will go to hell. Okay. So, men of God, they don't have the authority to cast men to hell, but they have the authority of physical death. Say physical death. Say physical death. Now, so the best way they can show to the world the danger of rejecting God's word is physical death. Let me take it again. The best way the prophet of old can show to the world the danger of rejecting God's word is what? Physical death. That would mean a man is sinning against God. The man of God cannot suddenly say you go to hell or do something. The sinning against God will automatically bring spiritual death. But for the man of God to show to the world that what? This man is living in rebellion. What is the best he can do? Physical death. Are you with me? Good. Now follow me. So, physical death and plague are the best way they can show that someone is disobeying God. But God never sends them to kill. Is that grace? Hope you didn't lose me. Good. So, truly, men were offending God. Sins were against God. The sin and sins in the days of those in the days of Noah was against God. Now, listen to this. Oh. The sin and sins, Jesus, of those in the days of Noah is against who? God. But the judgment that came forth was man-made. Because what is God's punishment for sin? In the day you eat of this tree, you will surely die. You will die. Spiritual death. You will be separated from me. Separation is the way God deals with sinners. Sorry, it's not even... Now you know it's not an active dealing. Separation is a repercussion of disobeying the gospel. But when a physical occurrence happens, that is who? Man-made. I have told you, in that flood of Noah, if there was no ark, there will be no flood. No ark, no flood. Write it down. You can ask me after service. Oh, sorry, do you have a series on that? Okay, I'm saying Genesis is there. Good. Okay. So, I said the judgment that came forward was man-made. Now, why? At times, write these two things down. At times, the prophets, they were not patient. And also, at times, the prophets, they were helpless. They don't know what else to do. Because the knowledge of redemption must be kept. Now, I say it again. At times, the prophets, they were not patient enough. And at times, they were helpless. I have said this in this church before. I said I heard of a man when I was in Akure, Ondo State. He was a prophet. This guy is so good that he's so good in his anointing that people can be devilish. They call themselves, they are men of God though. They are actually men of God, but they can be devilish. He said, "I see my prophet." He said, "If he plays hand on the stomach of a woman that is pregnant, he said he can abort the pregnancy." It now became so bad that if a lady messed up in the church, listen to this. If a lady messed up in the church and she's pregnant, she will just go to the man of God. I said, "Man of God, sorry, I didn't see my period. Just lay hands on me." And the man of God will lay hands. And what will happen? Baby will what? Abort. By the power of God. That is bad. That is abuse of what? Authority. Paul told us in Romans 14, or is it Romans 2 Corinthians, that the authority that God has given unto us for edification, not for destruction. So all those one, is not God that told a baby to die. Somebody will say, okay, but it's working by the power of God. Don't forget, the gift callings of God are without repentance. So if God gave you a car, God will not be asking you every day, where are you going with that car? But of course, as believers, we know something is called the judgment seat of believers, where we not all give accounts before God of how we use his what? Power on earth. So that is when God will judge the man. I tell somebody, I said, this man of God is saying, if you don't pay your first fruit, you'll be cursed. If you don't pay your this one, you'll be cursed. I said, you are still going there. You know that you are not paying this first fruit. You are not paying this 30%. You are not paying this monthly due. You are not paying it. The man is saying you will be cursed. Yet you are still carrying your head there. People can be so funny. You are not obeying what the man is saying. And he's telling you that, well, if you are not doing this, you will be cursed. Praise God. See, our authority is for edification, not for destruction. Brother, are you tired? Don't get tired. I see how many minutes, 40 minutes or something to go. This, I didn't know, this note is not even moving. So calm down. Say calm down. We are here to know God. Okay, so at times the prophets, they were not patient. So like that man now, is it lack of patience? Is the one that is aborting people, is it lack of patience or? That's wickedness. What's that? So now, let's look at God's foreknowledge and God's predestination. I will say it in different ways. Just try and get me. Number one, foreknowledge is simply word of knowledge. Foreknowledge is what is, let me just use the word, is mostly word of knowledge and word of wisdom together. What you call word of wisdom today, let's say with word of wisdom because of the topic of salvation. Foreknowledge is word of wisdom. What is word of wisdom? You are speaking about a future right now. Follow me. It is what we call foretelling. 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 Not prophecy. No, we are in the day that we are in days that anything you hear from man of God, you just say, that's prophecy. Man of God, prophesy to me. It's not everything that is prophecy. Okay, Isaiah 38 verse 1. Let's look at one king in the Old Testament. Isaiah 38 verse 1. Come on, open your Bible. Do you know this song? I am in that number. I am in that number. I am in that number.
Saved by grace. That I am in that number. I am in that number. I am in that number. Saved by grace.
Isaiah 38 verse 1. In those days was Ezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Wow. Please listen carefully now. Then Ezekiah turned his face towards the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Ezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Ezekiah, Thus saith the Lord God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee from this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. Verse 7, And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees. Just go, verse 9, want to go? The writing of Ezekiah, king of Judah. Please, verse 9, everybody, I want to see verse 9, want to go? The writing of Ezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. Wow. So, listen to me this clearly. This man was sick. And God had mercy on him and sent a prophet that this sickness you are playing with will kill you. He didn't say, Isaiah, go and tell Ezekiah that I want to kill you. It's different. You know, this sickness you are playing with, it will kill you. Then the guy simply became serious, made a prayer of faith, and in a few minutes, he became healed, and he started recovering. Okay, E.G. now, you know in our crusades and healing meetings, you know at times we usually have more testimonies of chronic cases, maybe cancer. You can have that one more than just headache or malaria. Because if it's malaria, just go and get malozin. That is why I see new doses. So I was going to get a malabi, malozin. But when you hear that it is cancer, what will you say? Yeah, Oluwa! You will shout, now start going to mountain, Bashiri mountain. So Ezekiel, perhaps before he was thinking that it was a normal sickness. Nothing did happen. And the man of God came that, oh God, this sickness will kill you. It's not that God wanted to kill him. Now told Isaiah to go to him to go and inform him that, yes, I'm ready to do my plan. So, what was foreknowledge there? Rejoice. So, in that place, what was foreknowledge? Yes. What did God foreknown there? That what? Just say it. I know you know it. Just say it the way you understand it. That Ezekiah was going to die. So God knew that Ezekiah was going to die. So Stagira, what did God now do? Huh? He now sent a warning. So what? Hold on. Don't cut down on predestination yet. Just follow me. What happened there was foreknowledge. God does not interfere with foreknowledge. Foreknowledge is what I knew. What I knew will happen without my interference. You knew that, just like a man of God told you, don't travel on this journey. Which we should do those days. Don't go. You saw something, you simply informed, don't go here. Okay, you can give me with what I've said now. I need two examples of foreknowledge in the old Bible. Two more examples. Yes? Start thinking. Yes? Paul and who? Agabus, right? Okay, Agabus told Paul, right, that the owner of this gadu is going, will be what? Will be persecuted and killed in Jerusalem. Now listen to me. Because if we are discussing about salvation, we call that foreknowledge. But in the era of spiritual gift, what is that? Word of wisdom. Are you with me? So I can say foreknowledge are just word of wisdom that pertain to salvation. Are you with me? Okay, and that one. A famine. That's what she's saying. It's different. Thank you. Good. You spy my notes. Hallelujah. Come on. Let's be fast so that we can go home. So, that is exactly what I'm to read next. If you eat of this tree, you will die. That's Genesis 3:17. Genesis 2:17, write that down. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt eat of it. Thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest therefore, thou shalt surely die. Foreknowledge is what God knew. God knew that Adam will do this. He now warned him. If you do this thing, so why was God giving him that information? So that Adam can what? Change his way. Write this down. Foreknowledge does not have to come to pass. Now think. Give me a foreknowledge in the Bible that was said that didn't come to pass. This is where I will catch you. What we just read. Thank you. Hey, Juliet, you are too smart. He said, you will die. What the guy did? He turned his back. He's a man that talker. I will change my own. Of course, Ezekiel did not come to decree the death anyway. And he prayed over himself. And that is why I see. Most times, you know, at times, a lot of things just remain in our body until we just take it very serious. Very serious. The same man, it was not Ezekiel that prayed for him. That's where I'm going. He prayed himself. But because he heard that he kum belo de babas. Because he heard that, this thing will kill you. So Genesis, now check Genesis 3:15. Be fast. Just halfway. Jesus. Oh, wow. Hope you will close their heads today. I doubt. Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. What is that? Predestination. So, foreknowledge is what I knew. Predestination is what I will do because of what I knew. Foreknowledge is what I knew. I knew Adam will eat. That is why, even from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, I started speaking about what? About salvation. The light. Let there be light. And there was light. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. And God will command the light to shine out of darkness. I shine in our hearts. That's what? To bring the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. So from Genesis chapter 1, God was already talking about salvation because he knew that man will sin. Not because he made man sin. There's a bad theology out there that says that God intentionally made Adam to sin so that he can save him. No. Rather, God knew Adam will sin. Therefore, he provided the solution before the action. Hallelujah. Are you with me, brethren? Good. Thank you. Thank God you got that. So go back to Romans 8 verse 29. I'm rushing now. For whom he did foreknown, he also did predestinate. I want us to go back to that case of Uzzah before we close. For whom he did foreknown, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Whom he did foreknown, he also predestinate to be conformed. Summa 4, right? To the image of his son. So is it his son that he foreknew? Think. Whom he did foreknow, he also predestinates to be conformed to the image of his son. So who did he foreknow? He foreknew man in sin. He knew man with sin. He now predestinated, planned how man will be what? Conformed to the image of who? His son, Jesus Christ. Are you with me, brethren? Good. So, of course, foreknowledge, by now you should have known it. That is proginosko. Proginosko. From two words, pro and ginosko, right? What's pro? Before or prior. What ginosko? Knowledge, to understand, to perceive. So that would mean prognosko, would mean to foresee something. God foresee. Is it foresaw or foresee? Foresee. To know something beforehand. That's foreknowledge. Whereas predestination, that is Greek word what? Pro orizo, right? Pro orizo. Meaning, pro, the same way, before, right? And H-O-R-I-Z-O, right? Horizon. Orizo. H, but it starts with H. H-O-R-I-Z-O. To mark out. Please write this one down. O-H-O-R-I-Z-O. It means to mark out, to limit, to determine. To mark out, to limit, to determine. That would mean God knew, God, because of the foreknowledge of God, he now mark out some stops before time. Before time, he marked out salvation in his son, Jesus alone. Hallelujah. Do you know if salvation is to be received by diverse ways, we're in trouble. Ha! And if salvation will be dependent on what a man of God will say, we are in big trouble. Biggest trouble. I tell you, even some of the people that Moses even killed, some of them will actually be in heaven. I will show you later. No, not today. Because Moses had the authority of what? Physical or spiritual? Physical. Good. So, the meaning of pro orizo will now be to ordain something in advance. So, to ordain something in advance, to predetermine, to decide beforehand. E.g., applying this to the fall of man, God knew man will fall for knowledge. Therefore, he ordained before man that Jesus Christ will die for our sin. Hallelujah. So, to Hezekiah, God knew this sickness will kill him, so he sent Isaiah to go and minister to him. He didn't send Isaiah to go and ensure he dies. It's just the way that the prophet wrote it down. So, foreknowledge is what I knew. Predestination is what I did because of what I knew. Think about it, though. Predestination is more than what I will do. It's what I did because of what I knew. Are you with me, brethren? Are you with me? Good. So, most time, foreknowledge has to do with the disobedience of men. And predestination is always the mercy of God. Hallelujah. It always favors man. With the disobedience of men. But predestination has to do with the mercy of God. It always favors man. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 2 Samuel 14:14. 2 Samuel 14:14. We are so busy that what we develop here is ministers. I pray to God in a few years to come, they will call Edifying Assembly a church to raise pastors. Hallelujah. We don't raise weak believers. We don't raise weaklings. We don't raise people who celebrate you people. 2 Samuel 14:14. Come on, open your Bible. You don't get tired of me. Ah. Okay, this one. Please, listen to me carefully. I will just read this one for you in the proper translation. I learned this from Pastor Jolai, months ago. For we must need die. And are as water split on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Now, if you are writing, please, you can write this down. Neither doth God take away life, Neither doth God take away life, but deviseth means that he that is banished be not an outcast from him. Let me read again slowly. That's the latter part. Neither doth God take away life, but deviseth means that he that is banished be not an outcast from him. Wow. So, in interpretation, he said God does not kill people, but God will look for ways so that a man that is already banished, a man that is an outcast, will not be banished totally from him. Say salvation. So what's that? What's that? What's that there? Final year of predestination? Predestination, right? Predestination. He is looking for a he looks for a way so that the man that's supposed to go to hell should not go. And what's the way? The preaching of the gospel. So 1 Samuel 2:27. Let me show you another story before we go back to Uzzah. 1 Samuel 2:27. There came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, thus said the Lord, did I plainly appear unto thy house, unto the house of thy fathers, when thou were in Egypt, in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? Did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of all the children of Israel? Wherefore, kick ye at my sacrifice, at my offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest. 1 Samuel 2:29. Come on. Who is not there? Are you there? Don't slow me down. And honorest thy sons above me, to make yourself fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel said. Now please listen to me. Listen carefully. I said indeed, thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord said, be it far from me, that for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Brethren, if this is your God, we are in trouble. Do you understand? God said, I am the one that said, you and your house will be a priest forever. But I am the one coming back to say that I changed my words because you are not honoring me. See next verse. Behold, the days come that I will cut off thy arm and the arm of thy fathers, that thou shalt not, and there shall not be an old man in your house, my God. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation in all the wealth which God has given to Israel, and thou shalt not be an old man in thy house forever. Ah, bros. And the man of thine whom I shall not cut off from my mind shall be to consume thy eyes and to grieve thy heart, and all the increase of thy house shall die in the flower of Jesus. Not good. Not good. Now that's not somebody speaking. Okay. A man of God came. Quickly open to Titus 1. Be fast. Titus 1. We are going home now. Titus 1. You are spying my notes. What is Titus 1 verse 2? Be fast. In hope of eternal life, that which God, which cannot lie. Hallelouah. So, New Testament told us God does not lie. But we saw somewhere that God told somebody that, don't worry, you and your house will be in my priest forever. And the same God now came back that, okay, what I said yesterday. That would mean God can tell you today that, okay, you are born again, you are saved, you are going to heaven. Tomorrow you just come that, okay. No, we're in trouble, right? I change my mind. Ah, God, after I have acted all the men of God. Oh, after I've had he took a tithe. I said, ah, God. After we have had Hebrews 12, 14, follow peace with all men, holiness. After we have had everything, I said, I changed my mind. Yeah. And there's something in your brother which I said, he said, God is Asheyo. Let me have that. He does what he likes. Ah, That will mean God can use you to do suya tonight. Say God's character is Jesus' character. So like she was saying, but the issue there, the judgment of Eli was based on a prophet's discretion, number one. Why? Because Samuel did the same thing that Eli was accused of, and nobody killed him. Check it, check it. 1 Samuel chapter 8, before, so we can close. I'm still seeing over 30 minutes ahead of us, so let's shorten it. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1, and it came to pass when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judge Israel, judges over Israel. Now the name of his son, firstborn is Joel, and the name of his second Abia, and they were judges in Bathsheba. And his son walked not in his ways, and turned aside after the lucre, and took bribes, imagine, and perverted judgments. Then all the elders of Israel, they gathered themselves together, and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, behold, you are old, and your sons walk not in your ways. Now make us a king to judge over us, like all other nations. So number one, I said that judgment of Eli was based on what? The discretion of a prophet. Somebody did not like him there. And the person brought that message. Why? Samuel, perhaps they all like Samuel. You know, you understand? So nobody brought such to Samuel. But secondly, and much more importantly, the Levitical priesthood was not meant to be forever. So, Jesus. I hope you understand this right now. So, the prophets that came to Eli, if God will speak to him, if he heard from God, what he heard from God would have been the short lifespan of the Levitical priesthood and the fact that a new priesthood is coming that will be forever. So, but how did he implement the other? Huh? Imagine, that cannot be God. God said there will not be any young man. Please try and come tomorrow. We deal with something very cogent tomorrow. He said, how can God be saying everybody will die in the prime of their age? God, your God. Not your God, brethren. We see all those words of the prophets in due time. Are you with me? Are you with me, brethren? Say we can understand this Bible. Say this Bible is not full of confusion. It is clear. But we must read and understand. Good. Follow me. So, God would have told the man that the Levitical priesthood was not meant to be forever. That it was temporarily. That it was never meant to be everlasting. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, the law was a clear interruption. It is not consistent with the character of God. When did we have the priest called Melchizedek? Is he in the law before the law? And Jesus Christ was a priest after the order of who? Melchizedek. Okay, good. You can leave that for now. So, a lot happened then that were credited to God. But a careful reader of the Bible, we know those actions were not of God. Please, you will do well to listen to Stopping Demonic Activities Part 8. Stopping Demonic Activities Part 8. We just did it. It's already on our website. www.edifyingassembly.org, or you will find it on my Facebook page. Just search for it. Stopping Demonic Activities Part 8. Numbers chapter 4 verse 1. So, back to the case of Uzzah. Let's study this and go home. Amen, amen. So, Numbers chapter 4 now verse 1. There is something Moses told them about the ark earlier. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, take the sum of the sons of Kohath from among the sons of Levi. So even under Levi, there's a specific tribe, right? Are you with me? After their families by the house of their fathers, from 30 years old upward, even unto 50 years old. So they must be between 30 and 50, right? All that enter into the host to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. Verse 4. And this shall be the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation, but the most holy things. Verse 5. And when the camp set forward, Aaron shall come and his sons, and he shall take down the covering veil and cover the ark of testimony with it, and shall put thereon the covering of badger skin, and shall spread over it a cloth wholly of blue, and shall put in the staves thereof. Go to verse 12. They shall take all the instrument of ministry wherewith they minister in the sanctuary, and put them in a cloth of blue, and cover them with a covering of badger skin, and shall put them on a bar. 13. And they shall take away the ashes from the altar, and spread a purple cloth thereon. Verse 14. And they shall put upon it all the vessels therefore, wherefore they minister about it, even the censers, right? The flesh bowls and the shovels, the basins and the vessels of the altar. And they shall spread it upon it as a covering of badger skin, and put to the staves of it. Are you with me, brethren? 15. When Aaron and his sons had made an end of the covering of the sanctuary and all the vessels of the sanctuary, as the camp is to set forth, after that, the sons of Kohath shall come to bear it, but they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. These things are the bodies of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation, and to the office of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, pertaineth the oil for the light and the sweet incense, the daily meat offering, and the anointing oil, and the oversight of all the tabernacle, of all that therein is in the sanctuary and in the vessels thereof. 17. And the word of the Lord, and the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, cut not off the tribe of the family of the Kohathites from among the Levites. 20. Go to verse 19. But dost do unto them that they may live and not die. When they approach unto the most holy things, Aaron and his sons shall go in and appoint them everyone to the service and to the bonding. 20. But they shall not go in to see when the holy things are covered, lest they die. Number 7, verse 9. Be fast. Number 7, verse 9. Come on. Number 7, verse 9. But unto the sons of Kohath, right? He gave none, because the service of the sanctuary belonging unto them was that they should bear upon their shoulders, right? That's yeah. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 8. Be fast. Bubu, sit down. Don't distract me. Deuteronomy 10, verse 8. At the time, let me wait for you. Be fast. Come on. At that time, thank you, the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant, to stand before the Lord, to minister unto him, and to bless in his name unto this day. Deuteronomy 31, verse 9. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. Go to Joshua 6, verse 6. Joshua. 6 verse 6. And Joshua, I wait for you. Joshua 6 verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram before the ark of the Lord. Now, go back to Exodus 23. So it is clear, which tribe should carry the ark? Kohathites, not just any Levite itself. And even those Kohathites, what is their job? Carry. They must not even touch the only thing, the ark himself, or anything inside. They must not touch. What is their own job? Transportation. God is good, right? Which one do you enter? I go for it. Deliver this parcel. Don't touch. Don't open. Hallelujah. Very strong. And like you said, see that Exodus chapter 23, verse 20. This angel is serious. Like, serious. Are you there? Exodus 23, verse 20. Come on, follow me. One to go. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I prepared. Next verse. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgression. For my name, see next verse 22. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, hold on, if you will obey whose voice? God's voice or the angel's voice? The angel's voice. So, angel gave a lot of commandment under the law, not God. So, when God will be speaking through Melchizedek, he said, my own priesthood will be that of Jesus after the order of Melchizedek. But when angels were bringing the law, they brought a priesthood after the order of who? Aaron, right? So, that one initially was not even meant to be forever. It was an interruption. So, Eli sin was immaterial. Whether he sinned or he didn't sin, his priesthood will still be what? Cut off. But because there was a prophet around that didn't even like him, what did he now come to do? Cut him off. Now. Let's not wait till future. Now. In fact, your sons are even disobeying. Now, cut him off. Good. Follow me. So, see Galatians 3:19. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So that is why we have all those things. It's not God killing. See Galatians 3:19. Because if you cannot explain, you a God that can wake up today and just kill anybody cannot be your savior. He can kill you too. Galatians 3:19. Wherefore severed the law. See, it was added because of transgressions, right? What is that transgression? Exodus what? 19 verse 6. Find it, okay? Good. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. It was ordained by who? Angels in the hand of a mediator. Hebrews 2 verse 1. Almost done. Let me promise you. Just 3 more scripture. I will close. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't take my promise. Yo. Hebrews 2 verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should what? Let them sleep. Verse 2. For if the word spoken by who? Angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Hallelujah. Now, luckily for us, see this account. 1 Chronicles 13. Luckily for us. See 1 Corinthians 13 verse 5. And let's just do this one together. You now see their disobedience and how they corrected themselves. And we go. Are you ready? Okay, so 1 Chronicles 13 verse 5. I read verse 5, you read verse 6. We continue like that till we get to where I'm going. Verse 5. So David gathered all Israel together from Shiloh of Egypt even unto the entry of Amad to bring the ark of God from Kajajerim. Verse 6, want to go? Yes? Went up and all Israel to Bala, that is the which belonged to Judah, to bring up there the ark of the Lord that dwells between the cherubims, whose name is. So, verse 7, and they carried the ark of God in a new cart. That's the first disobedience. Out of the house of Abinadab and Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart. 8. No, David thought it was God that was in charge. Don't you know that there are guys in charge of those ark? No, normally David's own is just to rejoice, dance before the Lord. But then there are some, those guys, they don't smile. It's not about, you don't dance into the temple. It's not about dancing. What is it? Who is that? Bring your blood or go away. It's street. Every disobedience, whether you are offering, what happened to the sons of Aaron that are just doing Yahuzia in the temple? What happened to them? Fire finished them there. They died there. Angels, you understand? Good. Where are we? Verse 9. And they came unto the threshing floor of Kidon. And Uzzah put forth his hand towards hold the ark, for the ozone stumbled. Hey. Verse 10. Compare verse 10 with what we read in Exodus 23. So use your knowledge of Exodus 23 to now read verse 10. Want to go? Yes. And the anger of who? Is it the Lord or the angel that does not forgive? Okay. Was kindled against Uzzah and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark. And there he died before God. You know, before they have told us that what this guy did is that he tried to help God's work. That, don't help God's work. Don't. No. Amen. So if you try to help God's work, what will happen to you? He will kill you. No, it was a dispensation of death. And verse 11, and David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore, that place is called Peri-Uzzah to this day. Anyway, I know today they don't call it that again. We don't even know the place again. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you with me, brethren? So, now, don't forget, at times they will see an angel. They will call him the Lord. You remember Revelation 19, right? Even John, when John saw an angel, what did he do? He bowed down. Ah, my Lord. And that one said, get up. We are no more under that dispensation. Praise God. Are you with me? So, it's not really about whether the angel is like is Moses that said it or not. No. They ordained the law. I mean, it's not about if Moses is still around or not. They were still in force. They were still there. They were still active. It's not about whether Israel, the ark was coming from somewhere far. They were still active. Now, see, so three disobedience I could see from that place. Number one, the ark is to be bared upon shoulders, but rather they put it in a what? New cart. Number two, we are not sure. Okay, let me be patient. Number one, the ark is to be bared upon shoulders, but rather they put it on a new cart. Number two, we are not sure that Uzzah is even a Levite or from the tribe of Kohath. I use the word we are not sure. When I'm not sure, I'm not sure. I won't say what I don't know. Number three. The ark must not be touched, come what may. Hallelujah. Perhaps if maybe the ark first allow the ark to stumble to fall, then the priest will come again. They will offer their normal sacrifice. Then they will offer it. They will offer the normal thing. They will carry it. But to touch all those things without the stuff is judgment. Now, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. And David made him houses in the city of David. Right? Are you there? And prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. Verse 2, then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them as God are the Lord choosing to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. Verse 3, are you there? And David gathered all Israel. Can you see that verse 2? Huh? For them had God chosen to carry the ark of God to minister unto him forever. Verse 3, and David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord unto his place, which he had prepared for it. Verse 12, and said unto them, you are the chief. Verse 12, are you in verse 12? He said unto them, you are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourself, both you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. Verse 13. 1, 2, go, everybody, yes? For because you did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. Say due order. Say due order. So who gave the order? Moses and angels, right? 14. So the priests and the Levites, Moses, then ordained by angels. The priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. Verse 15. And the children of Levi bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with what? Staves whereupon as who? Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord, of the angel. 16. And David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers with the instrument of music, and harps and cymbals, sounding and by lifting up the voice with joy. 17. So the Levites appointed Emma, the son of Joel, and of his brethren, Asaph, the son of Birachah, and of the sons of Merari, Ferrari Rabbi, their brethren, Ethan, the son of Cus, whatever. 19. So the singers, leave those things. Go to 26, verse 26. And it came to pass, when God helped the Levites that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that they offered 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, and all the Levites that bear the ark and the singers, and Shelemiah, right? Shelemiah, right? The master of the song with the singers. David also had upon him an effort of linen. 29, want to go? 29, yes. And it came to pass, as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that... sorry, down. I beg. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's not enter that issue today. Praise God. That was the one that I think Prophet Shamba did a job on that on Facebook. So, I read all I read to just say one thing. Say the Bible is not confusing. Say, but rather, it explained itself to a diligent reader. Say we must read everything. Hallelujah. Assignment for tomorrow, number one. What are the differences between revelation and inspiration? Differences between revelation and inspiration. Number two, what are the differences between revelation and inspiration? Number two, how did the prophets receive their prophecy? How did the prophets receive their prophecy? Number one, difference between what? Revelation and inspiration. It's the idea. You will start up tomorrow. Number two, how did the what? Prophets receive their prophecy. Amen, amen. So we are trying to investigate something. Can the Bible be wrong? From tomorrow, we start coming to a more finite conclusion. But of course, it's still a long series, but you understand why we are doing this study. Are you with me? Are you with me? Praise God. Hallelujah. Say, I'm a diligent reader. I'm a good teacher. Say, I'm a good teacher. Say, I teach fully. Say, I don't paraphrase. We see everything. For age is on our side. Okay. Thanks so much. Take us offline. I'm done. Take us offline. Is that peace? Okay. How are you doing today, everybody?